Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Free Spirits Healing Circle, where we will explore ways to let go of our fears in order to become free. This is a chance for people to come together to discuss different topics that people desire to share and discuss. I'd invite everybody to just take a few moments to breathe deeply, breathing in to the count of six, breathing out to the count of six. And imagine yourself standing on a sandy beach before a brilliant blue sea. The sky overhead is clear. There's a gentle breeze blowing, and all is well in your world. Take time to just observe the gently rolling surf as it comes into the shore, caresses the shore, and then moves back out to sea. You'll notice that the timing of the waves coming in matches the cadence of your breath. Gentle, free. You are one with all that is, and for now, you're just enjoying your solitude on the seashore, where you feel perfectly safe and ready to begin a new day. And so as you watch the waves, continue to breathe and to release. And when you're ready, let the scene of the ocean dissipate, disappear, and become present to the moment that you're in just now. And so it is. Once again, you are free. And we are looking for people to bring up topics. I'm going to open up everybody's mic. Mary has joined us. Sharon has joined us. And Kat is on the line. And so I'm going to ask for a couple of topics from amongst the callers, and then we'll begin. Mary, do you have any topic you'd like to have discussed tonight?
No, actually, last week you had asked me to do the opening message, and I didn't know whether you wanted me to do it or not.
Yes, I would love it if you would do that. That
sure.
would be perfect.
Sure. Of course, Mother's Day is here, and there's a thousand topics about mothers, and and one of the things I think is how motherhood opens you to loving in a totally different way. Did we get disconnection?
Hello? No, we're here. That's perfect. I'm not going to be able to address that except from the standpoint of a child. Sharon, is there any topic you'd like to bring to the table today?
Thank you, David. I would like to suggest the topic of when we have someone near and dear to us. I've been meditating all my life. starting in prayer as a Catholic, and then the Middle 80s discovering my spiritual path and meditating. And I'm a true, deeply believer in meditation. But I had someone pass that's very as close to me as my son over there on the other side. And since his passing almost 3 years ago, I've had a challenge in meditating. I do meditate. I'll meditate in groups, this group, another group I go to. But on my own, I'm not embracing it as I used to, because I want to stay centered in my meditation. And maybe I'm answering my own question right now as I keep talking, because I know how to keep the shield around me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, set a time aside to communicate with him. But how do others, if anyone else has experienced an earthly loss, or one that's transitioned and gone into, how do they experience their meditation? Is it different? Is it a different form? Or they feel like they're using the same technique as before the loss of someone to the other side?
Okay, well, that's quite a topic, Sharon. I think we can handle it.
I can encapsulate it. How about in one sentence? How do people meditate, knowing they may have loved ones on the other side, or special people, entities on the other side?
Okay. Kat, do you have a topic you'd like to throw into the ring?
No, because I think those two topics are big enough.
I do too. Okay, well, I'm going to turn it over to Mary then.
Okay. I would like everyone to close their eyes and take a very, very deep breath all the way down to the base of the spine. Just take the breath all the way down. It's like filling up one of those skinny balloons where you fill up the tail end first and then fill it up all the way up to the shoulders. And then let go any fear that is nestled down there. Just eject it, just dump it from your body. Take another deep breath. And take it all the way down to the belly, below the belly button, and fill it up there. Fill it up all the way up to the top. And let go, just dump, grab all the pain down there and dump it, let it go. Can I hear some sounds from you? Is anybody there? Are we still connected?
Yeah.
Sigh. Something. Ha! Let it go. Forcibly let it go from your body. Thank you. Okay. Take another deep breath. Take it all the way down to the solar plexus. Let it fill it up there. And let go of all self-doubt. Let it go.
Oh.
Take another deep, deep breath. Pull it on and fill the heart with that breath. Fill it up. And grab all of the loneliness, all of the sadness, and Oh, let it go. Just let it go. Take another breath and breathe right into the throat, filling that throat, the throat chakra, filling it. Grab it and grab all of the things that you didn't say, that you should have said, and let them go. Breathe right into the third eye, filling and energizing my third eye. And let go everything that you pushed aside, that your spirit wanted you to do. Just let it go. Let it go out of your body, out of your being. And pull straight in to the crown chakra, filling and energizing that crown chakra. And let go of all doubt that you are part of everything that is. Let it go. Dump it. Dump it. There. And now we're reaching out toward the center of the universe and pulling into us the creative force, healing energy of the universe, and feel how free and how beautifully it fills you. Now that you've removed some of the obstacles, love that energy. Love your capacity to receive it. Own it. Let it nurture and motivate everything that you do and think and feel. And know that you are so, so blessed. And just take a big stretch and open your eyes and wiggle your fingers and toes and give everything you've got to this session that we're about to have.
Thank you, Mary. That was beautiful. Who would like to start sharing first?
I'll start. Doesn't sound like anyone's speaking up. I think I'd like to, seeing as we just had the meditation there, we should go in and talk about meditation. And Sharon's question about difficulty in meditation in particular, for her it was after losing a loved one, she could meditate in groups but not on her own. And it's been quite a long time since I've lost a loved one, and, you know, it can happen for anyone at any time. The last one that I lost was my beloved companion, Jasper, who was my dog. And that was quite a difficult time in my life for multiple reasons, and he was just another aspect of that. And there's also a boy that I grew up with, I think, passed on in the same year. So But meditation for me became difficult for a lot of different reasons. One of them was because I was so tired, having been a mother. Motherhood is very, very tiring. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Even if your children are not in your presence, you're thinking about them. And I had two small children, and one of them was sickly, and one of them I birthed. I nearly died and was in and out of hospital three times with close calls in her first month of life. So I was quite ill, and for a good 2 or 3 years into their infancy, I couldn't meditate because I'd just go to sleep. I just couldn't get into the zone. So if I was with people, as Sharon said, it was a bit easier because there was the energy of other people there to sort of boost mine because I was so depleted. So how I got through it was I didn't put any pressure on myself, for starters. I just accepted it. I said, all right, my body is so exhausted that I can't let my mind fly. So I'll accept this. And in surrendering, I then allowed the Great Spirit to show me how. And the place that it started was going to the Spiritualist Church in Boundary Street, Spring Hill, here in Brisbane. And someone had been trained by John of God and brought their spirit doctors over. And I had a session amongst other people as a group of us. And I went into a deep, true meditation for an hour. I had not experienced something like it in years because of my sleep deprivation. Later that day, I had to drive up the coast to Bobby Island to see some friends who were yogi. I actually had to pull over and find a shady spot and have a sleep before I could complete the drive. That's how exhausted I was. I was so exhausted. That meditation there told me I could still do it. So I started looking up meditations on YouTube and doing them at night just as I went to sleep. And I looked for healing meditation, and that helped tremendously because I knew I was going to go to sleep. I knew I was exhausted. So I just listen to someone talk me through a beautiful meditation and then go into a sleep. And as I became less sleep deprived, I took up yoga again because I had the energy to do it. I didn't have the energy before. And I started to go into spontaneous meditation during my yoga. And other than I was finding if I was sitting in the dark putting my child to sleep, I'd go into a spontaneous meditation in the dark. So my cellular memory of meditation was there. My exhaustion was there too, and I surrendered to it. And I wonder if Sharon's experience was a bit of emotional exhaustion because it's so traumatic to lose someone that you love. But I'd say persist and allow your psyche to reunite with your soul and your body, and let it be a healing process, and that way in the surrender you find the peace. That's all I have to say about that just now.
Mary, would you like to share?
Yes, I would. When my husband died, and he died in my arms after about an hour and 20 minutes of CPR, and the ambulance didn't come, I first went numb. And then as soon as I got my head together, I started talking to him because I was determined not to be an anchor for his spirit, knowing that he would be concerned about me no matter where he was. And so I talked to him in my head, and I told him not to worry, that he had so much to do in his new life that he needed to focus on that, and you take care of spirit world, and I'll take care of the planet down here and my human role until I get finished here, and then we'll be together. And I just talked to him constantly, making sure that he really, really understood that he had to go, and that he was going to go to something very special and very wonderful. And gradually, the conversation with him turned into meditation and a sense of being as close to him as I could get without demanding, without missing him, without holding on to him. And that was terribly, terribly important. And I did more or less the same thing when my daughter died, even though I wasn't with her. But I woke out of a sound sleep and said, I have to call Benny. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and which was 3 o'clock California time, and I didn't dare call her at that time because she was in a nursing home. But when you know that they are in good hands, you trust God, the creator of all that is, whatever you want to call him. I think shorthand God is fine, because in the spirit world they don't really use names anyway. They don't need to for communication. But just knowing that they are in good hands, there's no punishment, there's nothing that will do anything but nurture and heal and grow their spirit where they are now. And that is basically all I need. And that's about all I can say.
Thank you, Mary. Sharon, would you like to share?
Well, what I... since this is my first great loss, I feel going into 3 years, it's taken, part of that is processing for me. Part of that is on a human level, processing it and understanding, putting emotional understanding on where this is for me. And I know walking around during the day, I feel a close, I feel surrounded by love. I just feel the surrounding of love. I don't feel separated. I don't feel, but hearing others talk about their loss, Mary, thank you for sharing your daughter's transition and what that meant to you and in meditation, and your husband, and then Kat, your dog. I appreciate hearing others and how they move forward with it, move forward in life. And I guess the expression comes to mind, you can never go back home again. And that's what's coming to me right now. The days of yesterday, of, you know, just innocently meditating as I would do on a regular basis and manifest through my meditation and belief, you know, whether it's love, healing, whatever that is, or physical, those, it's a changed time for me now. And so the meaning of it is changed. And so I just thank you all for sharing. what that meant to you and your experiences with it. And I'll continue to process this, and it'll take on newer and newer meanings for me and a depth of understanding that will continue to grow.
You know,
thank
there
you, Sharon.
Is one, David, there is one thing I would like to add. I kept searching for the good that came from my husband's death, because this was catastrophic. It was really intense. It literally took me 9 years to find the good that came from his death. And that was very simple. And when I discovered it, everything, life took on a total different new meaning. I loved him. I respected him. I treasured him in every possible way. And if he had lived, I would have been Mrs. John L. Blake, happy as a clam, needing nothing but him, making pea soup that he would drive 100 miles for, the best banana bread in the world, and being the sounding board for his work. And I never would have become the instrument of divine purpose that I have chosen to be and that I've dedicated my life to be. And that is when that clicked and when I finally understood the meaning of that. His death, it was like he went away so I could be the me I am now. If that is any help at all, it's important to look for the good in the worst thing that happens to you, because this is a plane of imperfection, and there is nothing that is totally perfectly good or perfectly bad. So search for the good. Search for the meaning, the understanding, the growth, the development, whatever that brings to you. And you will make it into what it was meant to be by the creator of all that is. I hope that helps.
I think, you know, what comes, an image of emotion, too, that comes to mind is the cosmic universe, and they talk about when the beginning of time and how it was all an energy and how then there was transition into the various planets developing. That's
mm-hmm.
the image that comes to mind. It's just an energy inside me. And that,
mm-hmm.
and in time, you know, whatever time is, and I don't, you know, I don't demand a certain perfect answer at any point, or look at the clock or the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, just moving along with it.
Makes sense.
That makes sense to me, too.
Thank you.
I was thinking about some of the losses in my life, and the most recent one was the loss of my mother.
Oh,
and, well, that was about 2.5 years ago, and it was a loss that I was able to easily accept. It felt like it was her time to go. I was relieved that she was released from the suffering that she'd experienced. And it's the first time I think that I've ever been so at peace with somebody's passing. And it didn't really impact my ability to meditate. In fact, it enriched my meditations, and I quite frequently felt her presence when I was meditating. Interestingly enough, the very first loss I had when I was a child was the most traumatic loss, and that was my mother's mother. And it caused such a disconnect for me from my spirit that I can't begin to put words to it. And it took me literally a decade to heal from that. And I'm glad that you brought up the topic, Sharon, because I think that it is, it can be a challenging time. And I loved what Mary was saying about how she dealt with releasing her husband. And I think that that's something that we can all aspire to do in our lives when we lose somebody that we're close to release them to spirit, to release them to become all that they can be so that we don't hold them back. And I don't have any words of wisdom for you, Sharon. All I can do is share my own experience. I pray that you'll find the freedom within yourself to get back into a meditative practice that is beneficial to you and that brings you the freedom that you so deeply deserve.
Yeah. Well, I was always a coach to my son when he walked on this planet. I was always coaching him, and I still find myself coaching him very much so. And sometimes I remind myself, oh, he's not walking the planet anymore, because I'll find myself coaching him, well, you know, it would be important for you to do this or try this or consider this. And then other times I'm coaching him in just to really do take care of himself over there and to really be, you know, to there's such a bountiful, incredible, immeasurable, super buffet. I'm limiting it by using those words, and to really, really enjoy himself in the highest capacity of love and free spirit, and you know, so I sent him those blessings and those energies. And I'm sure in time, David, it's going to fall in place. So, you know, conversations like this is a step. You know, it's just a step in listening to other people. You're talking about your grandmother and the feeling that you went through. You know, everyone's just sharing their emotional experiences with people that they dearly loved before transitioning. And the dog, I know how meaningful that is too, how very deeply, deeply felt that is. So thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you for bringing up the topic, Sharon. I should say at this point that there is not going to be a program next Sunday. I'm traveling out of town and will not have access to a computer, so we will not be meeting in this fashion again for 2 weeks, and I just wanted to let people know that while I was thinking of it. Is there anybody that wants to further discuss anything that's been brought up?
I think we should segue from discussing your mother and your grandmother's passing to the topic of motherhood, if that's okay, David.
Absolutely.
Because motherhood is romanticized as this wonderful experience that every woman should have. Not all women want to be mothers. Some women should not be mothers and are. and other women love every single aspect about motherhood, and some women love their children, love spending time with them, but really would rather not do all the task-laden aspects of motherhood. And it can be very difficult for a person who wants to have a career and express themselves and self-actualize to include motherhood in their life and admit that, you know, I really love my kids, but I really don't like doing the shopping and the washing and cleaning up after them and having to explain every little thing and deal with every little aspect of their lives until they can start to deal for it for themselves, because I'd rather actually work. Well, I'd rather read a book. And those people get beat up on quite a bit by the motherhood Nazis of the world. And then you've got the other women who beat the mothers up because they're not doing it absolutely perfectly as far as they're concerned when the child is an infant. I don't know when all of this started, and maybe it's been there all the time, but really the thing is that if you love your child and you're a good person and you're teaching them to be a good person and you do your best you can every day, then you're a good mum. If you recognise that you're too sick or physically or mentally to look after your children and you surrender them to family or the state, that might be the best move you can make. If you find that you're in a situation where your family have overtaken you and you're trying to pull back and you want to make a fresh start and you're taking your children into a new time in their lives away from everything that they know because you know that's going to be right for them, good on you. And people beat each other up over motherhood so much. What I know is that when I think of my four children, I have two adult sons and I have two young children, 4 and 5, my sons are 20 and 21. When I think about them, I think in my heart. And I know they came from my body, but they're children of the universe. I don't own them. I belong with them. It's up to them if they want to belong with me as they grow. And although I think of them, I know that they may not think of me. And I accept that because they're living their lives and they're living what they experience as their truth. What I hope is that they will consider the training I gave them in manners, table manners, the way they treat others with respect and themselves with respect, values in education, in critical thinking. It's all of those little times that I put something into their minds that help them to be better people that I hope that they remember. If they don't remember me, that will sadden me, but I am not their owner, I don't keep them, and I won't be the person who holds them back. And I think there's a pressure on mothers to do that as well when they become, children become adults. When are you going to marry? When are you going to give me grandkids? The children of the universe, they reincarnate through you. They are of your body, but they are not yours. And I think we need to celebrate motherhood in the fact that we're here as a vessel and a wonderful instrument for reincarnation so that the Great Spirit can express itself in multiple magical ways. And without the feminine aspect, we just wouldn't have the universe that we have. We wouldn't have the amazing plants and animals that we have and the human beings. I think that motherhood needs to be given a little bit of a chance to really be everything that it is without having to be beaten up about it. That the love that a mother has for a child in being unconditional, in saying, I love you no matter what. You know, if you go out and you murder 500 people, that's horrible. But I still love you because you're my child. And you go off and you make your own mistakes, and I'll still love you. And when I die, I'll still love you. But you're a child of the universe, first and foremost. And you're here to have your experiences. This is what motherhood truly is about. It's about growing them, releasing them from your body, growing them again, and releasing them again. So you grow them twice and release them twice and love them once unconditionally for always. Always. Yeah. I think that's it in a nutshell, that motherhood for me at the moment.
Thank you, Kat.
Well, Kat, I think that what you're saying is pure gold because I'm going to read you something. I got this text this morning from my second-born son. It says, I love you, Mom! ! Happy Mother's Day. You're a great mom. Myself. And then he names his brother, who's in heaven. And then he names my grandson, his nephew, who's the son of my son in heaven. You are loved dearly by all of us. Now, that text meant a lot to me, and I responded in that manner. I said, this means a lot to me, because my second-born and I have been walking on a really rocky path for a great number of years, and especially when his brother transitioned to try to, you know, it just ripped the carpet out from underneath our feet. And, Kat, what you talk about, the things that you – I was a very poor single mom trying to figure out how to keep the roof over my head and my son's both my son's head. And I'm thinking as you talk, I'm thinking of their father, you know, and well, things are changing. They have changed, but, you know, marrying his other wife of many years and, you know, going just his, he fell into the statistic that his lifestyle increased and everything went well with he and his new life. And then my sons and I were there were times when I, you know, the water was shut off or a car was repossessed. I mean, my life is totally different today. But we had our struggles, and it was tough. And, Kat, what you talk about is gold, because we do, society does. You know, I think about these young people that are creating, some of them creating mayhem. I mean, some of them are doing wonderful things, but some of them are doing things that are just horrible things to other people, like in a school setting, you know, shooting or whatever. And I wonder, gosh, what happened when they were little? What happened in their households? And the other side of it, I mean, there are people that age that are doing wonderful things. But, Kat, I really appreciate your words, because I, you know, was in a school setting, a university setting, and raising my kids and going to school and taking us to family therapy, and we were judged. You know, there were other single moms, and we were all in the same boat. We were working to become professionals, but we would judge each other, or, you know, whatever the happenstance was. So, sometimes that's found in society. It is found, and it's tough. And everything that you mentioned, Kat, is practical and reality-based. And I started a nonprofit where I dealt with the underserved for many years. And I thought, again, you know, mothers struggling and the judgment that would go on and how tough some of the decisions were made. These people that have run into school settings and created crimes on other children, you know, by shooting or whatever, maybe it would have behooved the mother or the parents to give them up to the state. You know, maybe they would have found, maybe, who knows? But the judgment that sometimes is placed on other people raising children, and, you know, I want to see it turned around. I want to see it more supportive, and how, you know, can it be more conducive to doing what's the most supportive thing, standing by the child? And I know, David, you being a social worker of days of yesterday, you probably encountered some of this. But anyway, Kat, I do agree with you on the mother side of things.
Well, I was a single mother of my two older boys for 11 years before I met my current partner. We went to high school together, and then I stepped away, and 17 years later we reunited our friendship and got together. But I understand the struggle of being a single parent and trying to make ends meet and having a deadbeat dad in the background who undermines all the efforts you're putting into your children. And my boys were difficult children to raise, as it was, with Asperger's and ADHD, respectively. But then also to have a father who, when he saw them, he was verbally and physically abusive and did it in such a way that I didn't know. It was very challenging because they'd come home with difficulties upon the difficulties that they had, and then I'd go and see people with degrees who said they were professionals who just say, oh, no, that's all right. They've just gone to the fun parent. Now they're coming back to you and you're the disciplining parent, so they're going to act up to you. That's what happens to everyone. But these people with degrees who said they were professionals didn't go through an abused child checklist, and my boys began to abuse me. So motherhood is about sacrifice as well. Motherhood is about, when you conceive a child, you start to feel sick. Your body gets a sickness. There's a parasite within you that is now drawing on your energy, your resources within, your body. I know women have lost teeth because of being pregnant, because the baby drew out so much of their calcium. That you love that baby, usually. Most women do. Some women don't have the baby and out of choice, and in some circumstances that's, in my opinion, a good idea, especially with conception of rape or a one-night stand, and the two people involved would be terrible parents, and the children would have awful lives. But the fact is that you grow that child, you feel sick for the first 3 to 5 months, then the reflux comes, the normal night cramps come, you struggle to move about, you struggle to breathe, you can't eat much, but you're permanently hungry. And that's because the baby squishes your tummy up, your stomach up into your ribs. You make a massive sacrifice to grow this child. Once you've bred the child, your body is all out of shape. It may not come back to normal. You may have loose skin. Your breast may sag. You continue to give to that child breastfeeding. If you cannot breastfeed, you're still having to find money for formula. One of the best formula. You get sleep deprivation. You sacrifice income. You may become ill because of being run down. You may become mentally ill because of the whole experience. And then that child requires schooling. And then you've got to juggle your life and so on and so on and so on. And then they become teenagers, and then you have to drive them around everywhere. Your whole life is a juggle, and the self-sacrifice that you put into that person so that they may go on and live the life that they're meant to live is quite great. And it's important that we recognize mothers and we recognize that self-sacrifice. Now, I put aside my career for 20 years to raise my boys. I did bits and pieces of work when and where I could. I couldn't have a job where I was paid by the hour because I'd often have to drop everything and go to the school, or I'd have to take phone calls from the school and told my kids done because they're upset or some teacher was having a difficulty with them. There was a lot of self-sacrifice there. But they've turned out to be lovely boys. And the reward is in seeing them as majestic, beautiful men. That's the reward. So the motherhood, you know, it can be a long, hard road. You think of all the mothers with special needs kids out there. They're carers as well as mothers. And they're doing it tough. And then we're in Western countries. Imagine the mothers who are sitting there in third world countries with children with spasticity and intellectual impairments. Some of these women are shunned from society just because their child has difficult needs. We need to have that great compassion and that great love for motherhood because it is something that keeps this world going. And it is because we can't make money from motherhood in Western cultures, it is often seen as a low thing for someone to do because it's not fiscally relevant. And you're just a mother and there's nothing to that. There's everything to it. Everything.
Yeah.
Without it, we'd all be stuffed.
Yeah.
Thanks for your sharing, Pat. Mary, is there anything you'd like to say?
No, it's just so right on target. It's how things are, and we all respond in our own way. Some of us are stronger on one point and weaker on another. And that's simply how it is. And we give whatever we can do to motherhood. And I learned a little bit too late, so that I could have saved myself from beating myself up so much. But I learned in studying and becoming certified family therapist, I learned that there's no such thing as a perfect parent. There is a good enough parent. And when you strive for perfection, you limit your ability to be good enough. And that's an important thing to note, is that when we beat ourselves up, we shut ourselves off from our great connection, our great spiritual connection. So I would recommend that we stop doing that in as quickly and as completely as possible. Excuse me. And that's about it.
Well, I just wanted to say I feel very blessed by the mother that I had and the mothering presences of my grandmothers and aunts. I will say that I used to be quite critical of my own mother. She was very human, and I looked at her frailties instead of her strengths, and I came to appreciate her as a whole person when I was able to turn that around and focus on her strengths and recognize that she was truly a strong woman who had had a difficult time earlier in her life, earlier when I was a child, and she rose above that and became a victor. And I think that one of the reasons that it was so difficult for me to lose my maternal grandmother was because she was the only one that I really felt unconditional love from as a young child, and I lost her when I was 9. But, you know, these women and my paternal grandmother were just such examples of loving kindness, and they nurtured me the best they could, and I really have come to appreciate that they rose above their own challenges and gave me and their other children the best that they could. And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to keep in mind, is that we all, and especially on this day, thinking of our mothers, do and did the best that they could. And Kat is going to lead us out with a meditation, and I'll look forward to communing with you 2 weeks from now.
And Kat, before you get started, I just... Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to thank you again for your profound honesty and insight that you shared. Thank you, because you hit it right on the nose.
Thank you. I think this is a good forum for us all to be real. Okay, so let's all take a deep breath in and squeeze our feet and toes into as much of a foot fist as you can make, and then relax. And take another deep breath in and make it, your legs really, really tight. Really tight and relax and breathe out. Another deep breath in and make your abdomen really, really tight and relax and breathe out. Another deep breath in and make your chest really, really tight and relax and breathe out. Another deep breath in and make your arms and your hands really tight, make a fist. And relax and breathe out. Last deep breath in and make your face and your head and your neck really tight and relax. And breathe out. And breathe in, 2, 3, 4, hold. 2, 3, 4, out. 2, 3, 4. In, 2, 3, 4, out. 2, 3, 4. Nice, slow, deep breathing. And center your focus onto your chest, into your heart. And within your heart is the face of someone who you truly love, who truly loves you. It can be human or animal. Focus on their face. Feel the smile well up from your heart, up into your mouth. Know that whenever you want to focus on your heart, there's an easy way to do it. Breathe into your heart. And this time allow your heart to bring itself up to your third eye. And breathe out. And then bring your heart up into your brain, into your crown chakra. Breathe out. And now your heart is anchored in your brain. And just allow the heart to speak to your brain. And let your mind in your heart speak to the mind in your head. And let it guide you. Let this be a place to be. And when you're ready, open your eyes, knowing that you can be guided by your heart now. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Thank you, everyone.
You're going to be missed. You'll be missed, David. Have a great time.
Oh, thank you. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you women. you beautiful mothers.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I think we all have the motherly spirit inside of us, whether we're female or male. I think we all have that maternal energy to some point, you know, different.
I agree. And so I'm going to say goodbye to all and God bless and till we meet again.
Mary Blake, thank you for your sharing. That was very profound as well. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome.
And Mary, thank you for the opening meditation. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mary. Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, David.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, David. Happy Mother's
Day. You're welcome.
Day.
Thank you, Sharon.
You.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks, Kat.
Sharon, if you ever want to talk, you can certainly call me.
Oh, thank you, Mary. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody. Good morning to you, Kat.